This is Pure Decking, show number 383 for Thursday. What the hell is today? March the 12th, whatever the current year is. This is a show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and I've been informed that it's now considered racist to refer to COVID-19 as the Wuhu flu, the Kung flu, China syndrome, or the slanty-eyed cough. Just so everyone's aware, apparently that's now racist. So I'm Morps, and tonight I am by myself. Everyone else is unavailable or AFK or didn't feel like doing a show. I don't know. But I have my constant companion, Bourbon. So. Anyways. Yeah. Anyways. Ooh, the Ching Chong I cough on you. That's a good one, too. I like that one. Everybody is losing their effing minds over this because it was declared a pandemic. Uh-oh. I had a late arrival. And I've got Team
Steve. Pandemonium.
Pandemonium. All right. Well, now instead of just Bourbon, I have Bourbon and Madman.
Hello. Oh, Bourbon. That sounds amazing. I don't have Bourbon. I have scotch and rye whiskey.
Well, I thought I was doing the show by myself. So, you know, when I got to the part in my notes, it said I had to, it said, you know, intro the other people on the show. It's like, oh, nobody else is here. Well, I've got Bourbon, so that's how that went down.
Bourbon's a good thing to have.
So apparently RU is hiding in his bunker, surrounded by bottled water and toilet paper, and the only connection he has to the internet is a ham radio that he is using to get in the IRC. So... what did he say there? Coronavirus scares away all the tourists who are feeding the monkeys, causing the monkeys to riot and destroy a city in Thailand looking for food. Oh my God. It's a Dell Windows XP laptop. Oh my God, you have an XP laptop on the internet. Brave man. Brave, brave man. Anyways,
you know, eventually they'll stop looking for those.
Actually, it might have been long enough. I hear a Windows 98 machine is pretty safe on the internet these days. So.
Yeah, but it's a Windows 98 machine. It's like, at a Windows Me machine, that would probably be very safe, but who'd want to fucking use it?
At one point, as an experiment, I put Windows 3.1 on a... it was a Pentium 2, I think? No, it was Pentium 3. It's Pentium 3. And then found every enhancement I could online and actually had it, one, looking like Windows 95, and two, somewhat usable on the internet. Wasn't very good, but it worked. I could totally see tricking out a machine with a weird old operating system like that. I mean, FreeDOS is a thing. Why not? So, anyways, so I don't know, but I mean, you know, the stores are just, you know, apparently you can get beaten down in the parking lot now for your toilet paper. So it's getting bad. And I wasn't aware the coronavirus caused, diarrhea or for some other reason, this massive run on toilet paper. I know the theory was that the majority of United States toilet paper comes from China. And that because the factories haven't been running and the shipping hasn't been running, that we're going to run out. But come on, really? You really think we're going to run out of toilet paper?
Oh, I actually have a package of toilet paper fairly close to my computer. I've got to double check where it was made. I think it was made in the U.S.
Well, it's just funny. I'm just... You know, it's like, of all things, it's like okay. You know, yeah, Fallout got it wrong. It's not going to be bottle caps. It's going to be toilet paper that you use as barter in the future. Anyways. But yeah, I mean, when I went in Old Wally World earlier today because I needed to get a handful, a couple of things, you know, I saw people literally, their carts just filled with toilet paper, bottled water, and beans. It's just like...
Oh, they didn't grab the stuff to make French toast? Everyone knows when there's either a snow or a pandemic, you need to make French toast.
Apparently. But, I mean, it's just what I saw. But, I mean, everyone in there was like as many packs of toilet paper as they could carry. And it's just like, man, I'm glad I bought some last week. I got dirty looks from people when I bought it. But it's just like, it's like, I'm glad I bought some last week and I don't go through it that fast because shit.
My shit tickets came from Kansas. Woohoo! We will always have shit tickets.
I figure, you know, just wait till you're at work, you know.
But they have crappy shit tickets at work.
Well, I mean, you know, it's something if you're trying to hoard.
It's something, but I grab that toilet paper that's like silk on your ass. There are a few small pleasures in life that you can just savor.
And splinter-free toilet paper is one of them.
That used to be Quilted Northern's slogan, now splinter-free.
You imagine.
Like, there was a time when you had to worry about that? What were they, barbarians and animals?
Yes, they're called humans. Humans are barbarians. Anyways, so I don't know. I've got a couple of coronavirus stories in the docket tonight. One of them is just hilarious, and the other is just kind of a interesting one. But to start with tonight, I want to talk about this project I came across earlier today. It's put out by Reporters Without Borders, and it's called The Uncensored Library. And let me throw the link in the various locations here. What this thing is... It's an interesting concept, right? So I don't dislike the concept, but I think they haven't considered everything about this. And this is a Reporters Without Borders project. So if you have, you know, if you consider them a biased source or something like that, well, no, that's what it is. I know they're. I thought I remembered reading somewhere that people had problems with them, but I don't remember what it was. It's been too long since I, you know, thought I remembered. And I might be confusing them with a different organization. But anyways, so what they've built is a Minecraft map. And the idea is, well, let me just read the slug lines from their website. It's very slick. They've obviously had a marketing team put this website together. They've got the, you know, the auto-playing video in the background. They've got the little 10-minute spiel video talking about it. You know, the infinite scrolling website. I don't know why anyone decided that was a good idea. But, so anyways. In many countries, websites, social media, and blogs are controlled by oppressive leaders. Young people in particular are forced to grow up in systems where their opinion is heavily manipulated by government disinformation campaigns. Oh, I remember what it was about Reporters Without Borders that people had a problem with, is that they had the United States ranked like 50th on the Freedom Index. And people disagreed with it. That's what it was I remember reading about them. So, you know, whatever. Anyways.
I can see us not being as high as we should be.
Well, I think it was when Trump got elected, they bumped us down a few notches. I don't remember the justification for that, but it was basically right around that time. And some people got mad at them for that, thought they were being overly political. I mean,
reason, then yeah, it would be overly political.
Well, it's because, you know, it's all the Russia stuff and thinking, oh, well, humanity, or, you know, United States is lost. It's now being controlled by this. And yeah, that's, if I remember right, that's what it was. Anyways, but even where almost all media is blocked or controlled, the world's most successful computer game is still accessible. So apparently the theory here is that Minecraft is not being censored when all the websites and blogs and Facebook and shit like that is. So Reporters Without Borders uses this loophole to bypass internet censorship to bring back the truth within Minecraft. So on March 12th, the World Day Against Cyber Censorship, the Uncensored Library opened its doors, providing access to independent information to young people around the world through a medium they can playfully interact with. Journalists from five different countries now have a place to make their voices heard again, despite having been banned, jailed, exiled, and even killed. So they do have a couple of articles in here from Jamal Khashoggi. So, anyways, the forbidden articles were republished in books within Minecraft, giving readers the chance to inform themselves about real political situation in their countries and learn the importance of press freedom. And then, of course, it goes on here, and they've got their URL, which is visit.uncensoredlibrary.com, and, of course, you can actually just download the Minecraft map. So I'm hoping, I guess they're hoping people are going to rehost this, because there is no way that URL is not going to get blocked in, like, a second by any of these regimes actually looking to do serious internet censorship, right? That's the thing here, is they talk about having it on their server, but their server's just going to get blocked along with anything else. So I guess they're hoping that the rehosting the Minecraft map will make that, impossible. Let's see. So, yeah, they got Jamal Khashoggi articles, Yulia Burskova, Nguyen Van Dai, Javier Valdez, and Mada Massar from Egypt. So I did download the map, actually, and play with it. This thing's very slick, very marketing set up. Put it out by Reporters Without Borders in Germany, actually. And I don't dislike the idea of doing things like basically setting up an information exchange within Minecraft, right? I don't think that's a problem. Madman, you still there?
Yes.
Okay. Looks like you got kicked out of the IRC and I hadn't heard anything for a bit. I'm like, oh, his internet died.
No, I was waiting to chime in. I was thinking a better way of doing it, because if it is on their server can be blocked. You know how you used to be able to put up signs like, Pigmen are angry, please don't go into the Nether right now?
Yep.
Do that except with news articles on pre-existing sites that you know people in those countries are hitting, like maps that are already up.
Could be. You could do it that way, too. But this actually just has the articles in the text of a book. So they've had somebody clearly sit down, and the Minecraft map is actually fairly impressive. They've got this huge library they've built but when I was exploring it, they only had a handful of articles for each of their targeted countries, which was Mexico, Russia, Vietnam, Egypt. Was it Vietnam? Shoot. It was Vietnam. Saudi Arabia and, that was all of them. Yeah, that was all the ones they were targeting. Saudi Arabia, Russia, Vietnam, Mexico, and Egypt. But they only had a handful of articles. And, this huge build. So trying to find these articles in the map took a while just because you had to, you had to explore a bit just to find them. And
they're not going for China?
Yeah, they don't have anything for China. And so it's an interesting concept, but I don't think this is going to get anywhere except just give them some, attaboy press, possibly from themselves. And that'll be it, I don't think they're going to accomplish very much with this, unfortunately. I could be wrong. I hope I'm wrong, because I don't mind the idea. I like the idea. Kill the pigmen to find the truth. It's not just Minecraft now. It's forgot the show. Anyways, doesn't matter. So, I don't know. What do you think, Madman?
I think if it's on their server, they're going to have the problem of that just being blocked.
Yeah.
They have to somehow decentralize it. And Mexico? Whereas, you're not going to get a lot of Mexican journalists doing hard-hitting news stories in Mexico. It's because they don't want to get killed by the cartel. You can pull up just about any site in Mexico. They're not censoring the internet like China. It's just there's not news reporting on the ground because news reporters want to live. So the big problem with not getting correct information there isn't as much government censorship as it is no one's going into the hot spots to say, here's where the mass graves are, because no one wants to end up in the mass grave.
Yeah, that's a reasonable conclusion. It makes sense to me.
So the countries that you would need to target would be the authoritarian countries where there's someone there willing to speak but just needs anonymity. Like Saudi Arabia, I have no delusions that it's you know, a progressive, happy place. I do believe there's an authoritarian dictator, and I do believe he'll have you beheaded. But there's not disorganized gang violence just killing everybody on the streets. It is this dude, when he finds out you're speaking against him, will cut off your head. So, with a nice pseudonym and a hard-to-trace connection, you can post something on a BBS or get a story out. And those are the countries they need to be focusing on rather than Mexico.
Well, and the thing is, this problem's actually already been solved. It's called Tor. If you're trying to get information out of these repressed places, you know, you because Tor is incredibly difficult to block. I mean, completely block it. So you use Tor, and then you can, you know, join up to an IRC or something and get the information out that way, or, you know, get information back in and then distribute it however, which, you know, is still kind of dangerous if you're, like, in Saudi Arabia or China. But, yeah, North Korea is not on this list. That'd be another interesting one. But there was only a couple of articles from each of these authors here in the map. I didn't read them all. I read a couple of them, and you know, yeah, they were, you know, the kid in Egypt was basically detailing because how he was arrested and put in prison for basically wrong place, wrong time because of the riots a couple of years ago. And, you know, there's probably more good information in some of these articles, but unless they plan on doing a lot more work to fill out this thing, it's very, the word gratuitous comes to mind. If that makes sense. Because when I was playing around in the Minecraft build, it's huge. You know, the actual build is huge, and there's a handful of articles in there. So, but, you know, you can download the thing for free, and I think you're right. I think they're hoping that people are going to rehost it to get around the whole, you know, they've blocked that this server. I would think it would be amusing if you took this Minecraft map and then put other game modes on it. Like, you know, yeah, it's still the uncensored library map, but it's also, you know, playing Hunger Games. Or, I don't remember all the other ones. But, you know, one of those different modes where you're, you know, you're doing mass multiplayer. Because it's certainly big enough for that, and there's some the build is interesting. It's cool to run around in. I don't think they built it in Minecraft. I think they built it in something else and imported it. And the size of it kind of leads me to think that. But, I don't know.
Native mode.
Maybe they're thinking that their server will become some kind of a congregation point. You'll have people hanging out in there and talking, but, I don't know.
Well, Minecraft's big enough to have that community, but everything in the Minecraft community, it's not. We're news aggregators. It's let's go in and build some random shit, or let's go in and blow up someone's builds.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you could throw this map up on a public server and then log in, you know, a week later and just see how many giant golden cocks people have built all over the library, and, you know, how many other books people have put in there just full of random shit, right?
I could see this more of a Second Life thing. That could bring life back into the... That.
Well, they tried with Second Life. Second Life, they tried to do all kinds of, you know, educational stuff in there. And that was one of the big things originally touting Second Life. So, It's not that this hasn't been done before. How about that?
All right. It's just now they're hitching on Minecraft because it's the new big sim.
It's the big game that everyone's playing, and, you know, unlike Second Life, you're not paying massive amounts of money to Linden Labs a month to have a build. You know, you just go set up a server somewhere. But,
well, now you still have the problem of people finding it. I do like the idea of the onion router, because that's what it was originally designed for, supposedly. But, you'd still have the problem of people on the other end know how to find it. Because if you can't find the news stories no one wants you to read, they might as well not exist.
I see a lot of people bouncing in and out of the IRC. Something going on with the IRC?
Not with my connection. Mine is my doing something stupid while talking to you.
Ah. But, like, it looks like rats hopped in and out a couple of times. Madman's back in. So I guess we should do a read out of the IRC. We have myself, Sardonyx, the Cyber Dystopia bot, Cycros, twice for some reason, DP View, Madman, RU486, as we mentioned, coming in, you know, over the ham radio and the tin cups. And rats was in for a second, but it looks like he's lost his connection again or closed it or I don't know. So, anyways, like I said, it's an interesting idea, and I wish him success. I don't think it's a bad thing. I just wonder how much success they're really going to have with this, because they've obviously put a lot of work into building the marketing, but they haven't, you know, I was expecting a lot more articles to be in the map when I got into it, you know?
Yeah.
It would be an interesting way to run a blog, though. You have an actual Minecraft build, and you're just putting your posts in books and, you know, putting them in order somewhere in a build.
They also have the problem with the, how many of the Reporters Without Borders are gamer or gamer-adjacent or game-friendly?
I would imagine not many, because, like I said, this looks like something they paid for, truth be told.
Yeah, they're probably, you know, bloggers or Reuters contributors, people in their 30s, 40s, and 50s, that if they play games, they don't think we can use this to aggregate news. They think this is something fun to do in my off time. And I could be wrong or less correct, but I don't think it's going to catch on, at least yet, for that reason.
Well,
it is something that I think may eventually catch on.
Let's look at it this way. The thing was released today, so it's not unsurprising that it's a light on content. I think the real question is, we'll come back and check on this thing in 6 months and see if it's even still going or not. That'll be the real test. So, but, you know, we can throw it up on a server later, or we can just connect to there. That'd be something to do, would be to connect to their server and just see who's on there. I actually thought about connecting to their server earlier, but I didn't feel like talking to any Reporters Without Borders people who are probably in there monitoring the place. Be like, yeah, I'm going to talk about this on my, you know, podcast later tonight and just rip you guys a new one, you know? Which I don't think I've actually ripped them a new one, but I don't think I've been as kind to them as they're expecting people to be.
Yeah, they've been mostly indifferent.
Well, I don't think it's going to work.
Well, that's because it's not. But
I think it's going to get blocked in the countries they're trying to reach. And, you know, I don't think they have anybody updating this thing directly. I think they hired somebody to do the Minecraft work. And, you know, when they're not seeing immediate returns on it, somebody's going to be like, well, you know, why are we paying this guy? Why don't we just, you know, and of course they've got a making of video and some other stuff like that, which I didn't look at. Oh, don't play that. It's playing a fucking video. I thought it was going to be a write-up on how they made it. But no, it's, I'm betting this thing was sculpted in something else and imported and So, like I said, if they keep it up, it'll be interesting. But I don't expect it. I don't expect a year from now we'll be talking about this thing. How about that?
I can see that, because I'm not going to be talking about it tomorrow unless someone brings up.
Okay, fair enough. Hope I'm wrong. Oh. I'd like to see something like this work. I just don't think it will.
I wonder if zines have become a thing in those oppressive areas.
Oh, I'm sure that you've got the whole pamphlet thing still going on in areas like that. I mean, because they arrest people for, you know, dissidents all the time. Actually, I would imagine that things like pirate radio would probably be a common thing. Like little underground podcasts and shit like that.
Oh, we stop funding Free Europe. Then we start funding Free China. Have a ship going up and down Chinese coasts. Broadcasting American news and music in Mandarin.
Yeah. I don't know how many people over there actually have... We'd have to figure out what kind of radio would be the right kind to broadcast on for that.
Oh, they were doing actually just radio frequencies with America.
No, I know, but for China? I'm wondering how many of them have an FM radio laying around.
We'll do FM AM, I don't care.
Or shortwave, for that matter. I mean, it's just I don't remember that being ever talked about, you know what I mean?
Here's some Green Day, and then news from the BBC.
So, next article. This one is from The Verge. AT&T is suspending broadband data caps for home internet customers due to the coronavirus. AT&T is... I'm just picking on this one. There's actually several of them where WebEx and Zoom are basically letting people set up free trials that are... much, much longer free trials so people can use it, you know, when they're working from home. But this one was kind of interesting. AT&T is suspending data caps for broadband internet customers on Thursday as waves of employees face new work-from-home policies from U.S. companies trying to mitigate the spread of coronavirus, according to Motherboard. As it stands, some AT&T home internet customers, not to be confused with those who subscribe to an AT&T mobile data plan, because God knows they're not taking the caps off that, have plans that cap the amount of monthly data they can use with devices like laptops, game consoles, smart TVs, and others. Those caps can range from 150 gigabytes to 1 terabyte, Motherboard says. Actually, I had an AT&T DSL line, 10 years ago, that they put a data cap on it about 3 months after I got the thing. And it was so slow, I did the math, and I'm like, it's physically not possible to hit the data cap. So I actually called them and complained, trying to see if I can get a free speed bump, right? It's like, you put a data cap on there that it's not physically possible for me to reach. What does that mean? And the guy was just like, well, it means you don't have to worry about it. If you ever hit it, just call us and we'll waive the fee. I'm like, oh, okay. And, yeah, that was the end of it. Of course, they were saying that. It was early days, right? But anyways. And going over the cap can result in fees as high as $10 for every 50 gigs over the limit. Many of our AT&T internet customers already have unlimited home internet access, and we are waiving internet data overages for the remaining customers, a company spokesperson tells Motherboard. The decision came in response to inquiries from Motherboard regarding the telecom's plans for dealing with surges in at-home internet use throughout the country, as offices close and people are being advised to avoid large gatherings in densely populated public spaces. Earlier today, a group of 17 senators sent a letter to the chief executive of 8 internet service providers, including AT&T, Comcast, T-Mobile, and Verizon. T-Mobile sounds like a Pokemon. demanding that they suspend broadband data caps or the fees associated with going over the limits and throttling due to the coronavirus crisis.
Well, that's crap.
Potentially. I mean, that's what they're buying all the toilet paper for.
I mean, like that they're suspending caps. The Senate needs to stay out of the fucking business of me and any other corporation. I know what shitstorm I'm in. The Senate should not be pressuring companies.
I'm a little okay with them pressuring companies because I don't have a fucking choice in which ISP I deal with.
Yeah, you're stuck with the monopoly that your state has set up.
Yep.
But I don't know. I'm kind of torn because it is government trying to fix something that government's responsible for. But then it's also government affecting business.
Well, you know, like, my stance. Yeah. I'd rather them just, you know, not have a monopoly on ISPs and just, you know, let me have four or five to pick from, because things like data caps would disappear overnight if you had proper competition.
And in areas where there are, I don't think there are data caps. Like, I don't think AT&T has a data cap where I am. They have three other competitors as far as high-speed internet.
So, as organizations around the country formulate their responses to the recent outbreak and spread the novel coronavirus or COVID-19, Madman, you missed my opening joke. So let's see if you have any to add to this list. The opening joke for the show tonight was. We've been informed that it's now racist to refer to COVID-19 as the Woohoo flu, the Kung flu, China syndrome, or the slanty-eyed cough.
Oh. Oriental fever?
And RU added the Ching Chong I cough on you disease. But Oriental fever? Yeah, okay. I see that one.
Sweet and sour sickness.
That's good. That's a good one. has led to a wave of event cancellations in just the past week. A more drastic series of responses from federal government municipalities throughout the country. Major sporting leagues, including the NBA and NHL, have canceled their remaining seasons, while New York City announced today it would be declaring a state of emergency and shutting down Broadway, its largest tourism hub. Trump administration announced yesterday it would ban foreign nationals from Europe from entering the country for the next month. So,
I'm fine with that, but they canceled March Madness. Fuckers will all burn. I want to fill out my bracket. I want to lose like every other damn year and then cuss out Duke simply because Duke needs to be cussed out. I don't care if they get knocked out in the first round. They're still all bastards and we should all cuss them because they exist.
Noted. Tell us how you really feel there, man.
I mean, I'm not planning on burning the campus to the ground, but if someone else were to do so, I might nominate them for sainthood.
Oh, are you? The bat soup sniffles. That's kind of gross. Bat soup. I've got nothing else on that one. You got anything on that one?
Not on the joke, no.
Next one up is from ZDNet. So, let's see. Brave to generate random browser fingerprints to preserve user privacy. Brave's new approach aims to make every browser look completely unique, both between websites and between browsing sessions. It's an interesting idea. The Brave browser is working on a feature that will randomize its fingerprint every time a user visits a website in an attempt to preserve the user's privacy. Brave's decision comes as online advertisements and analytic firms are moving away from tracking users via cookies to using fingerprints. The shift began last year in May of 2019 after Google announced plans to block third-party tracking cookies. Throughout 2019, advertisers and analytics providers have begun adapting to this upcoming change. That change came with the release of Chrome 80 in February of this year. Nowadays, most advertising analytics firms are relying on user fingerprints as their primary method of tracking users across the web. For non-technical users or readers who are not familiar with the term, the user fingerprints are a collection of technical details about a user in their browser. They include a large spectrum of data, such as platform details and web API measurements. Platform details include data points, operating system, browser type and version, hardware rig specification, list of installed fonts, details about the size of resolution, and more. Randomizing the screen resolution that you send to a website might have interesting results. It's like all the text is really tiny for some reason. Web API measurements include the results of scripts that advertisers or analytics firms secretly run on a user browser. For example, they can measure how a browser renders various elements and canvas drawing via WebGL, how quick a browser generates sounds via the audio API, and more. All of these API operations, while the same, are rendered slightly differently for each user based on the capabilities of the browser and hardware platform. A user fingerprint is a result of combining a user's platform details and web API measurements. The more data points an advertiser has, the more accurate the fingerprint is, and the better it can track the user as it moves across the web. Over the past few years, browser makers have realized that there will be a shift in user tracking towards fingerprints. Firefox was the first major browser to address this rising problem by adding an anti-fingerprinting setting to its browser that lets users block attempts to fingerprint their browser. Apple followed suit a few months later when it deployed a different approach, making Safari return identical values for some fingerprint data points, such as fonts. The unfortunate truth about all of these approaches is that despite being well-intentioned, none of them are very effective in preventing fingerprinting, the Brave team said in a blog post last week. The enormous diversity of fingerprinting surface in modern browsers makes these block, lie, or permission approaches somewhere between insufficient and useless, unfortunately, they added. Brave's new approach aims to make every browser look completely unique, both between websites and between browsing sessions, Brave developers said. By making your browser constantly appear to be different when browsing, websites are unable to link your browsing behavior and thus unable to track you on the web. Feature is currently active in Brave Nightly and is scheduled for a broader release later this year. Technical details about how the fingerprint randomization feature will work are available via a link and a demo site. Second major privacy provision last month, Brave also announced plans to roll out a system that hides privacy-harming page elements for web pages rendered inside of Brave. So let me click on the link here and just see what are they doing.
How is lying going to be inefficient? You have the browser set for every version of that browser to tell the same lie. They could tell what browser version I'm running, but not what computer I'm on.
Well, that's what they were complaining about with Firefox and Safari, saying it's not enough. So now they're having it change the lie every time you go to a different page.
Okay.
So what are they doing here? Client hints, media streams, SVG fingerprinting, WebRTC IP leakage, Canvas fingerprinting, geoprinting. So, okay, yeah, they've picked a bunch of random things that your browser can return, like the battery status if it's a laptop. I'm sure things like the font list and color depth and supported plugins and MIME types and things like that. And they're probably adding random garbage to it. Based on the idea that whatever the fingerprint tool is going to compute a value and store it rather than, somebody actually looking at the results of this thing. So they're probably just randomly adding various bits of garbage to a lot of these issues, or with things like the battery, randomizing things like the serial number or the model number. I don't know what all it would return.
Thinking status, wouldn't that be a crappy one to track you with? Because your status is going to change on like how charged up it is.
Potentially. I'm thinking more along the lines of it can probably return the actual voltages, so things like the maximum charge or the duty cycle on the battery and things like that.
Those are unique enough from laptop to fingerprint?
Some of them are. A few years back, Linux added to their power management widget all the known serial numbers of batteries that had recalls on them that you needed to contact Dell or HP about because they were a fire hazard.
My battery could explode. The days of cell phones that... That was 2 years.
Yeah.
I love Android.
So, anyways, let's go ahead and move on to this. Unless you had anything else on that one.
No, I'm good.
All right. Next one up is from foreignpolicy.com and is hilarious. No porn for Chinese stuck under the virus lockdown. Internet controls have proven even more restrictive as Chinese life moves online under quarantine. Tens of millions of Chinese citizens remain quarantined in their homes, moving much of their daily lives online. Yet teachers who have moved their classrooms to the virtual sphere find themselves navigating another state-imposed minefield, China's heavily censored internet. In February, a lecturer of nursing science complained on social media that her online session was hastily shut down when artificially intelligent censors flagged the live stream as internet pornography. As the desktop went viral on Chinese social media, the lecturer explained that she had been doing a class on human birth. A biology teacher from Wenzhou shared similar problems, this time during a live stream course on mitosis, the division of sex cells. These tales reflect a long-standing crackdown. In a country known for its widespread censorship of the internet, the government's stated goal of stamping out pornography, an industry known for ushering in internet innovations from affiliate links to virtual reality. I don't think porn invented virtual reality, although it probably is one of the biggest users of it.
I can say right now, crowning is one of the times you're not really attracted to a woman's privates. That should not be flagged as porn.
Well, they said it was some automatic sensor, right? So it wasn't exactly like, you know, it wasn't like you had some China government employee look at that and go, oh, and block it, you know.
Not for that reason. This is the one time the baby is not cute.
You should keep an eye on the IRC there, Madman. Yeah.
Hey, I'll kink shame anyone I want, damn it.
Yeah, let's see. State media has repeatedly referred to porn as a malignant tumor on par with online fraud and gambling, an illness which contaminates the web. Where's my button? Let's try the other button. Chinese culture and the rule of law, jeopardizing the well-being of the country's youth. Certainly, some of the government's concern about porn is well-intended. China's black market porn industry potentially makes it easier for child sex exploitation to proliferate, and sex work in China is often controlled by organized crime. The inadequacy of sex education in China has made porn the only source of information for millions of young people. At the same time, the government censorship can be a blunt force object rather than a surgical scalpel. When Titanic was re-screened in Chinese cinemas in 2012, for instance, fans were surprised to no longer see the famous scene of Rose lying naked before Jack. A regulatory agency ruled the scene had to go, giving viewers May, as the agency stated publicly, reach out their hands for a touch. Oh, God.
I want to honk your boobs. Well, in a movie theater.
The Chinese government thinks that their citizens don't understand the concept of a movie screen. Reach out their hands for a touch.
I tried to honk, but my hand just keeps closing on my hand. There is no boob.
Oh, RU is right. Where is it? Do I have that on this soundboard? I may not have that on this soundboard. Oh, I don't. I've got the full song, but I don't have the actual honk honk. I don't think. Oh, I don't have it on here. I fail. Hang on, I'll get it loaded real quick. Okay, yes, here we go. Reach reach out their hands for a touch. The emphasis on prudish relationship norms dates back to the Maoist period, in which cultural icons were portrayed as living without sex and marriage. Damn.
All right. I'm going to go with limiting access to porn isn't necessarily prudish. 9 to 10-year-olds don't really need to be saying it. Just saying. Teaches you to objectify women. Now, a little older, you can see some porn, I don't care, but it isn't a great shameless thing. It's not like we're limiting works of great literature here. It's porn. They're just doing a bad job of it. Since I don't know if there's a way to do a good job of it, parents should just know what their children are doing online.
So, anyways, you're right. The rest of the article goes on talking about how much China has censored, you know, what work they've done to try to, you know, cut out porn. Apparently, and like they have a problem of cam girls and cam boys. That's a problem they have, apparently. Pretty much the rest of it, you know, is detailing China's attempts to censor porn. And I guess the link here is that because you have so many people who are stuck, you know, working remote and online, that they're starting to run into the filters a little bit more commonly than they were.
And if I want to look up, like, great paintings like Venus de Milo, that's probably flagged as porn. Or the sculpture of David. There's lots of great works of art people aren't going to be able to see because it shows a wang or boobs.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably the case, man. I mean, it's, again, Tor is an option here. If you're on the Chinese internet and desperate, I'm sure several regular VPNs would work as well, but, you know, you gotta be kind of, I have a feeling if you're in China and you're caught running a VPN, you know, you're probably in for a bad day.
Most desirable, sir.
I don't know.
Are you a weaker? You may need to be re-educated.
We've determined you to be a weaker. Wow. Off with his wang. Damn.
No, more like, what is your blood type? We may have a donor who is in need of your help.
So, we see here that you have just declared all of your organs to be forfeit. Say, I'm kind of using those. Well, not no more, you're not.
Well, you're at least not using one of those kidneys.
And how selfish are you, keeping that extra good kidney all to yourself? What are you, a capitalist? Yeah, I could see that going downhill really quickly. So, anyways, let's see. I got one last story for us tonight, and this one's kind of a no-shit Sherlock story. It's from BuzzFeed News. Popular VPN and ad-blocking apps are secretly harvesting user data. No shit.
I mean, the VPN isn't doing what I'm paying for?
Oh, no, these are free.
That's breach of contract.
These are free.
Oh, okay, then yeah, I'm the product. I knew that was the problem with that.
Censor.
Instead of 20 people selling my shit, it's just that one guy.
Sensor Tower, a popular analytics platform for tech developers and investors, has been secretly collecting data from millions of people who have installed popular VPN and ad-blocking apps for Android and iOS, a BuzzFeed News investigation has found. These apps, which don't disclose their connection to the company or reveal that they feed user data to Sensor Tower's products, have more than 35 million downloads. Since 2015, Sensor Tower has owned at least 20 Android and iOS apps. Four of these, free and unlimited VPN, Luna VPN, mobile data, and AdBlock Focus, were recently available in the Google Play Store. AdBlock Focus and Luna VPN were in Apple's App Store. Apple removed AdBlock Focus and Google removed mobile data after being contacted by BuzzFeed News. The companies say they continue to investigate. Once installed, Sensor Tower's apps prompt user to install a root certificate, a small file that lets its issuer access all traffic and data passing through the phone. There's a few more steps to it than that, but they're essentially correct. The company told BuzzFeed News that it only collects anonymized usage and analytics data, which is integrated into its products. Sensor Tower's app intelligence platform is used by developers, venture capitalists, publishers, and others to track the popularity, usage trends, and revenue of apps. Armando Orzacola, an Android analyst for Malwarebytes, said that giving root privileges to an app exposes a user to significant risk. Your typical user is going to go through this and think, oh, I'm blocking ads, and not really be aware of how invasive this could be, he said. Randy Nielsen, Sensor Tower's head of mobile insights, said the company did not disclose ownership of the apps for competitive reasons. Let's just let that one sink in. Sensor Tower's head of Mobile Insights said the company did not disclose ownership of the apps for competitive reasons.
The reason is if you knew that we were selling your shit, you'd use our competitor.
As in, our name is so damaged that if it was on a privacy app, no one would use it. I mean, that's just compelling honesty right there. You know, that's up there with the politician, not just bragging that he's got the sex tape, but giving you the URL to it. I mean,
if you pause at 17 seconds, you'll see exactly how big my package is. All you ladies out there, consider it an advertisement.
I mean, pretty sure I remember Donald Trump at one point, one of his stump speeches, telling people to go Google for the pictures of his wife online. So,
he was bragging how hot she was. And then in the presidential debate, I found out that he is proud of his girth. That was in a presidential debate. We are living in the wrong universe where dick jokes make it into a presidential debate.
Any more? Why not? Why fucking not?
I mean, I know they're normal people. No politician is above you. Most of them are below you.
But I don't know about normal people. There was a whole group of them that were into, what was that witchcraft shit? Hillary Clinton's advisor was doing it. Spirit cooking.
Spirit. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know that I'd call anybody who does that normal.
I was just thinking, there's a certain level of decorum that should come with my politicians.
Anyways, are you reminding me there? Where were we? Yeah, when you consider the relationship between these type of apps and an analytics company, it makes a lot of sense. Especially considering our history as a startup, he said, adding that the company originally started with the goal of building an ad blocker. He was unable to provide media coverage or other evidence of this early focus. Nielsen said the company's apps do not collect sensitive data or personally identifiable information, and that the vast majority of the apps listed are now defunct, and a few are in the process of sunsetting. In most cases, the apps are no longer available because they were removed due to policy violations. A dozen of the Sensor Tower apps were previously removed from the iOS App Store due to violations, according to an Apple spokesperson. After being contacted by BuzzFeed News, Apple removed AdBlock Focus and said it's continuing to investigate Luna VPN. Google is investigating the apps but did not comment by deadline. We take the App Store's guidelines very seriously and make a concerted effort to comply with them. Make an effort to comply with them as opposed to just, you know, complying with them. Along with any, you know, don't kill all these people. I tried really hard.
In their defense, a lot of the App Store policies are written a bit vague.
Oh, yeah,
so
they're
that,
vague as hell.
They can do some ban hammer if they need to. So I'm not going to crack on them for we tried to comply, because that's all anyone can do. But I am going to crap on them for, here is a software meant to anonymize you, and don't worry, we're still selling all of your info because we have it. We're not actually anonymizing you.
And here I was worried I misunderstood the mobile user market for a bit. It's like, huh, this is too good to be true. Oh, it is. Well, that explains it. World's all is right with the world again. So, for goodness sake. Anyways,
yeah. Let me see. The ad block blocked everything but their ads. Our ads are good. You don't need to see Kingfisher's charcoal because Madman's charcoal is better.
Apple and Google restrict root access, root certificate privileges due to the security risk to users. Sensor Tower's apps bypass the restrictions by prompting the user to install a certificate through an external website after an app is downloaded. Luna VPN, for example, shows a notification that offers the ability to block ads on YouTube if the user adds the AdBlock extension, another Sensor Tower product. This kickstarts a process that results in the root certificate installation. And they can't remove that because if you're doing MDM or if your company is running things or if it's a managed device for your phone, oftentimes your company will need to install root certificates. But by the way, just so you know, if you're using your company's MDM like a Good or BlackBerry or something like that and you install their root certificates, they could potentially, I'm not saying they do, potentially, and having ran some of these platforms, I know the options are there. They could be monitoring everything that you do on your phone. I will also say most companies don't because they don't want the legal liability, but they could. Excuse me. Don't mind me. Just a little bit of slanty-eyed fever there, or whatever we called it.
Buzzfeed. Sweet and sour sickness.
Say what?
Sweet and sour sickness.
Yeah, a little bit of sweet and sour sickness there. Don't mind me. BuzzFeed Nude connected the apps to Sensor Tower by discovering they contain code authorized by developers who work for the company, or authored by developers who work for the company. The online resume of one senior Sensor Tower developer whose GitHub username is in the code of multiple apps said he built Android apps to power the Sensor Tower analytics platform. The personal website of another Sensor Tower developer said he's working on awesome top-secret iOS projects. Yeah, that sounds like the kind of crap you get out of some of the developers these days. It's called resume-driven development. When your developers come in and they want to play with all the latest toys and they refuse to work on their legacy code stack, that's probably resume-driven development. That's, I want to be able to put on my resume, I've used Docker, I've used Git, and I've used, Rust or Golang or whatever language they're advocating for. Because Java and legacy Tomcat stacks are boring. Even that's though that's nice. 90% of your company.
I now need you to learn COBOL, you bastard.
Wait, what? Actually, things like COBOL are, if you know it well enough to work it, you can write your own check because there are guys running mainframes who have entire application stacks from the 80s and the 70s written in things like COBOL and Erlang. And
we're trying to modernize our system, but we figured out everyone that knew how to export this shit
retired
is an old
like
fuck
10
home.
Years ago. Yeah.
Now we tried to get one of them to come back. He wanted more zeros than I was authorized to put on a check.
We asked a few more, and the exact quote was, you're lost, fuckers. So, possibly we should have paid them more when they worked here. Maybe not called them nerds so often.
Give them fewer wedgies. Actually let them go to a conference or two. I mean, we weren't overly cruel.
We fed them
cat food. Gave them some Tang.
Cat food and Tang? Do they even still make Tang? Is that still a thing?
Who knew that they would end up ruling the world one day?
Actually, if they made Tang, it's probably all sold out now because people hoarding shit. That's what we should do. We should start the rumor that Tang is the cure for coronavirus. Watch how long the run on that lasts.
I don't know. TikTok's got the last great idea we should have done. Blaming you, are you? I'm blaming you still. You and your morals.
All right. Well, speaking of racism, let's move on to this. All right. I got two things for you tonight in Digital Dojo. Both of them are GitHub links. The first is a interesting collection of privacy-respecting software. And he's got, and they've got some links to some other GitHub lists that are also security and privacy-focused. But when I was scrolling through the list earlier, it's actually a fairly good one. They've got a bunch of different ones for encrypted messaging. You got Signal, Keybase, Matrix in there, some of the different email providers. Of course, all the browsers. DuckDuckGo is on the list a few times, I think. Decent list of browser extensions, several mobile apps that are worth using or worth looking at. I'm not going to say everything on this list is perfect, but it's a good start of different tools to play with. So I haven't looked at everything on the list, but when I was scrolling through it, it looked like a pretty good list. So it's definitely worth your time, especially if you're looking for privacy software, if you're looking for alternatives to stuff, or if you're just curious, really.
So the encrypting email, would that work with your current email provider, or is that just emails, email providers that let you encrypt?
So those, the ones I saw in there were like email providers that were by default doing encrypted email. You could always do encrypted email if you wanted to, you know, take the time and set up something like GPG and just, you know, never put clear text messaging in that service. But that's, you know, requires a lot of operational discipline. And, you know, dealing with everybody complaining that they have to decrypt your email. So, you know, something like a, like some of the more privacy-focused email servers are, you know, ProtonMail and MailFence and things like that are a little bit easier. But there are some other things that are worth looking into if you want to do encrypted email through like an existing account, but pretty much it's going to involve setting up some kind of a key system and getting everyone you regularly exchange email with to install a plugin, a program, or something so that they can read your email.
Ooh, password managers.
Yeah, there's several on there. And like I said, when I looked at the list, it looked pretty good. So good place to start, at least for some various stuff.
Getting to the point, I should probably use one of those on my phone.
Yeah, they're handy. Or at least something that has a lockout and encryption function. Turns out several note keepers have a fairly decent encryption function, but check it before you trust that with like passwords, right? So, like, if you're on a Samsung phone, does it hook into Knox? Because that's usually a pretty good indicator that it's actually using like some of the hardware encryption that the phone does, or if it, you know, hooks into the key ring on iOS. If you're on regular Android, I forget what the enclave is called. But anyways, yeah, make sure you read the reviews on that kind of stuff and check it before you use it. But, you know, if it's actually a dedicated password manager and it's made one of these lists, it's probably decent. Second thing I have for you tonight is a really interesting project. It's still early days on the thing, but they've got a functioning tool, and like it's point one, right? This thing's in alpha, but I like what it does. And so it's an application called Danger Zone. And the idea is you feed this thing potentially dangerous PDFs, office documents, or images, and this thing renders them in a sandbox. So that, like, it's not allowed to connect to the internet, download code, execute script, or anything like that. And then it basically takes a snapshot of whatever was displayed. You know, the actual right. So Danger Zone works like this. You give it a document that you don't know if you can trust, for example, in an email attachment. Inside of a sandbox, Danger Zone converts the document to a PDF if it's not already one. Then it converts the PDF into raw pixel data. So that's a screenshot, basically. A huge list of RGB color values for each page. Then in a separate sandbox, Danger Zone takes this pixel data and converts it back into a PDF. So it's essentially taking screenshots and converting everything into this document format so you can read it, so that if something is dangerous or has script in it, it just can't run. I like the concept. I don't know how well it is, you know, how well it's implemented. I only kind of looked at it for a bit. But It's a nice idea of, you know, rendering this stuff just as an image and then just saving out the image as a new PDF so that if there was any script or anything embedded in it, it's just gone. Now, this doesn't help with that stupid shit like click this link to get your encrypted email. You know, because there's nothing malicious in that. It's just a link. But at least it won't be clickable anymore because it'll just be an image of the link. So if they've done something like, you know, the image is one URL and the URL or the text is one URL and the actual URL goes somewhere else, it'll break that. But this doesn't preclude you from having to, you know, show a modicum of intelligence and operational sense when it comes to dealing with the documents you don't trust, but it at least, you know, it at least will filter out scripting and shit like that. So it's an interesting tool. I guess in this case, it'd be more, you have to have the good sense to think to put your document through the tool rather than just being impatient and opening it up, right?
Oh, yeah, I can see people being... Yeah, just keep flashing on a joke from Archer when you started saying the name of this.
Go ahead, Madman. Belt it out.
Hey, Lana, guess where we are? We're in the danger zone!
That's all I've got. That's all I've got for time. Where's some damn notes?
Between each picture, can this... Oh, no, it's in a sandbox. Never mind. I was about to say, couldn't it still be running this crap between each picture?
It could, but the idea is it's in a sandbox, so it's not going to do anything. It actually goes through a few different sandboxes to actually produce the final document. So even if something was running, it doesn't have much of an opportunity to make it into the final document.
And then you can watch the sandbox and just see, is this actually trying anything?
Yep. So, anyways, listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Pure Decking every Thursday. For those of you around the world, the United States is still unfortunately trying to drive its citizenry mad by occasionally changing the clocks. So we have sprung forward as it is. So if you don't change your clocks like a sane person, our show is now an hour later, I guess?
Earlier. Spring forward. Fall back.
Well, I'm thinking for people. Yeah, you're right. Okay, be an hour later. Yeah. Because our clocks
earlier.
Help. Damn it, you're right. Okay. Just listen to what Madman's saying here. Obviously, I've had too much bourbon to do math correctly tonight. Or time zone math. Because as we all know, time zone math is hard.
Yeah, hopefully little Marco's bill gets passed and we will never do this craziness again.
Just pick one and stick with it and be done with it. That'd be nice.
Yep, that's what the bill says. We will just stay where we fucking are. But of course, that makes sense, so nobody's going to vote for it.
Yeah, God forbid anything makes sense. Of course, Pure Decking every Thursday, the Galaxy 15 radio site, the subreddit, and the IRC. I think I've already read out the IRC for tonight, so Madman, closing thoughts.
How is making fun of a virus racist? It's not a fucking race.
Well, China is complaining because, you know, everybody's saying it started in China. So the last I heard, China was actually trying to say that it actually started in the United States and we intentionally infected them so we could then claim it, and they expected an apology from us for blaming the virus on them, which is insane.
We will only claim genocide for the people that we've attempted to kill. That's... Most
it's still
Japanese
a long list.
And some
I mean,
Indians.
You know, I mean, it's still a list. I mean, we've tried to kill a lot of people. I mean, that's as a
and
country.
I'm sorry, smallpox already had a name when we were using. Oh, hold up. No, if we invented the thing, then that even gives us more of a right to name it. As an official representative of some government somewhere, I claim that we invented this virus, and I officially call it the Woohoo Flu. Bam. I'm gonna copyright that bitch.
As the government of me, declaring myself a sovereign citizen.
That's the woohoo fucking flu.
But yeah, the last couple of days, that's been the articles, is that it's racist to call it the Wuhan flu or the Chinese virus. So. The internet, the world is getting stranger, man. Anyways, I
guess. My sister made that same joke, are you? Clocks changed on Women's Day. We had to shorten the day.
Oh. That's it. That's all I got. I'm going to start hitting sound effects on the board now.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Time to go nose down and call it a night.
But shut up, Wesley.